Hi, this is Sharon Lipinski, and welcome to another interview on GivingCirclesHelp.com, where we're compiling information and interviews from those who are running Giving Circles so we can all learn from each other and continuously improve our ability to make an impact with our giving and in our communities. I am speaking with Ed Fields. He is the chairman of the board of the Birmingham Change Fund. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us today. So can you start by just sharing a kind of a brief overview of the Birmingham Change Fund?
Yes, the Birmingham Change Fund is a giving circle of young, or relatively young at least, African-American professionals in the Birmingham community. We are in Birmingham, Alabama, mm-hmm. and we were formed in 2004 by a few folks who were inspired by the work of the Ford Foundation and a gentleman named Daryl Lester with Hindsight Consulting, who challenged us and asked us, what are we doing with our individual dollars? What are we doing to give back to the community in a substantial way? And through a series of conversations with people here in the Birmingham community, there were 20 of us, 21 of us actually, who came together and said, you know what, this is interesting. How can we get together and really, really make an impact that's more than just writing $25 checks for people that come to us for their favorite charity? What can we do proactively to really invest? And that's when we were introduced to the concept of giving circles, again, through Daryl Lester and the work with Ford Foundation in 2004. And so, long story short, we began to explore that concept, and we traveled and we talked to a lot of people, just like you're talking to people. And we started to understand that there's a long, rich history of giving, particularly in the African-American community, where institutional philanthropy hasn't had as much visibility in terms of our community's leadership being engaged and truly understanding what that is. And so giving circles for us are somewhat of a transitory mode of community investment that allows us to understand institutional philanthropy and still be really, really connected to the community at the grassroots level.
Mm-hmm. Now, does your giving circle have a particular mission, a particular focus? Is it just the community, or do you focus about specific issues within the community?
Yes, we do. We actually have a three-pronged focus as a part of our mission. Our ultimate mission is to make Birmingham the premier place for African-Americans to live, particularly in the United States. And the reason that our mission is so specific to African-Americans and frankly, it's not an international mission. It's really about the United States. It's because if you know, in Birmingham, where you have more than 25% of the population in poverty, the overwhelming majority of those, like 99%, are African American, then if they're doing well, then everybody else is doing really well. And so our mission is to truly lift all boats by focusing on the areas of greatest need. And there are three specific communities, three specific areas that we found to have some disparity in terms of attention. One is education. The second is economic empowerment, financial literacy sort of focus, and the third is healthcare. So for the first three, four years of our existence, we funded all three of those areas in a variety of different ways, from a $500 grant up to a $5,000 grant. We've given over $25,000 over the first 5 years of our existence, and we're poised this year to invest $12,000 in a specific focus area of education, which, as far as I can tell, that's where we're going to be investing in for the next several years is education. And the reason that we're doing that, Sharon, is because we learned that focus has a lot of power. Mm-hmm. If we don't have enough money, we can't throw enough money at these issues. The three issues I named are overwhelming. They're overwhelming in and of themselves, let alone all together. And we are still very much a community. You know, we're putting our $250 together every year to try to make a difference. And from a cash perspective, it's you know, I would consider it cute compared to some of the big dollars that are really floating out there to make a difference. So the best thing that we can do is focus, be really intelligent, and have some passion behind what we're doing that will inspire others, perhaps folks that have bigger dollars, to really invest. And the credibility and integrity of our group is, we believe, one of our greatest strengths as far as community connectedness, and then trying to be as smart as we can with our dollars. Mm-hmm. So that's a short history on the Change Fund.
Yeah, I think it's great that you have a smaller amount, because I think giving should be accessible to everybody, and that no matter what you can do, it matters. You know, maybe it's not $5,000, but $250, it means something, and it means something to the people in your community.
That's right.
So have you been with the Change Fund since 2004?
Yes, I'm one of the original founders. Our organizing founder is a guy named Charles Lewis, who is a graduate of Auburn University, an engineer, and one of his best friends from college has been involved in institutional philanthropy since he graduated, Marcus Littles with Frontline Consulting. And they just had a conversation, and Charles got inspired and learned more. And again, we really rallied around one another. Sharon, the most fascinating part of this journey for me personally has been the fact that Charles asked us to come to the table and talk about philanthropy, something that's really foreign to many of us, especially a guy like me who's from Milwaukee and come from a straight up blue collar background. There was no quote unquote philanthropy. It was donations, or there might be some sort of service work, but philanthropy was just a big word for folks that are much, much older and much, much richer than us, as far as I was concerned. But for us to come together and talk about philanthropy without any real sense for what we were going to invest in, that's really what has made us special. Is it was really just about the relationship. I trusted Charles. A lot of us trusted Charles, or maybe I brought somebody in, that person trusted me, and we just cared enough to have a conversation together and to see what kind of difference we can make without regard for advocating for a specific organization or a pet project, which to me was really, really special. And we've tried to preserve that. Obviously, it's hard to do that 6 years in with a lot of new faces, and Charles is in a different role, and people come to the organization many different kinds of ways with different expectations now. But the relationship is still essential, and I'll be glad to talk about that as well. But the relationship component of our Change Fund, we believe, has contributed to our I guess you could say, longevity. As mm-hmm. far as this world, we're kind of old in terms of more established giving service. So we feel good about where we are.
Yeah, I find that the relationships are critical too. So it sounds like you've been growing over since 2004. How many members do you have right now?
No, actually, we haven't been growing. It oscillates. You know, the challenge with any group of young professionals, we were many of us, I would say the mean age when we got started was probably 28, and is probably more like 34 now. And the challenge with that demographic is people have career changes, they move cities, they get pregnant, they go to grad school. I was off the radar with this group for a year and a half while I was getting my MBA. At one point we kind of dwindled way down, and then we got it back up. We are sitting right now at, I believe, 18 members. And so it's been steady growth. I'm sorry, we just added two more. So we're right at about 20 now. So we are far less concerned with that than we are with preserving the kind of, you know, the old adage, if you're not growing, you're dying. And I recognize that. But because of who we are and what we do, we tend to look at our group almost as a board of directors, where you're not concerned with growing a lot of people. You want to grow the dollars, and the fund has grown. And so we feel really good about the growth in the fund. We've done some friend raising and some fundraising in the last year. But no, we're still sitting at 20 members, and I hope that goes up a little bit. But in my role as chairman for the next 2 years, if we add a few people each year, I'm happy. I really just want us to start to give more money away because we haven't done it in 2 years.
So can you talk a little bit about your fundraising? So your members, your 20 members, you know, did I understand correctly that a member will give $250 a year?
Yes, the commitment for the Birmingham Change Fund is 3 years. Each one of us signs a covenant, which was created by one of our past chairmen, Lord Watson. It's an innovative tool. It's not a contract. It's not a membership application. It's a covenant. Maybe it's because he's a minister and a lot of us are spiritual minded, but we say that we're going to come together 3 years and we're going to contribute $250 a piece. Mm-hmm. And we are going to contribute about 40 hours of service every year. And really that's the extent of it. So, we meet on a monthly basis and we get together and put this money together. And the one thing I will tell you that we don't do is solicit corporate funds. We want to be able to leverage our resources outside of the Change Fund itself. But if you recall, what I said early on was that this isn't, the question was asked of what are we doing with our individual monies? And so this is still, in my estimation, a bit of an experiment in what this generation's African-American, aspiring leaders at least, are doing with their resources in terms of making an impact on a broader community. And to that extent, our fundraising has been three-pronged now. Membership dollars, membership gifts. It has been what we're calling friendraisers, getting people together at our homes to just talk about the Birmingham Change Fund and what we do and it's how it's impacting people. And then the third is matching grants, which we receive from both Ford Foundation and the Community Foundation of Greater Birmingham, which is our host organization.
What was the name of your host organization again?
It's the Community Foundation of Greater Birmingham.
Okay. And how much money are you fundraising in addition to your individual contributions?
Just a few thousand. Last year we raised $3,000 with our little fundraisers, our things in our home, as well as one special event that we did in partnership with our children's hospital we've done for the last 5 years. So we're not really built to do events, but we've done a couple of fundraisers. And so between our membership dollars and our fundraising, I think that's about $10,000 a year that we're bringing in all together.
I noticed on your website there was some information about the Community Investment Network, and then you just mentioned the Community Foundation. So can you talk a little bit about what support those organizations provide to you?
Yes, absolutely. The Community Investment Network was created by Daryl Lester, who's the gentleman I mentioned at the top of the interview. Mm-hmm. This group, Birmingham was not the only community he was talking to back in 2003 into 2004. And so he essentially helped plant giving circles throughout the Eastern Seaboard and Southeast. And so 11 of us have been a part of this network since its inception so that we can learn it from one another and talk to one another and get together for an annual conference in somewhere in the Southeast. So they provided tremendous support in terms of access to other people that are also doing what we're doing, being a steward of the relationship with the Ford Foundation on our behalf and on behalf of many other giving circles, and bringing people that have real substantial institutional knowledge of institutional philanthropy that many of us didn't have. I mean, our members, I went to the Center for Philanthropy and participated in conferences. We had folks go to New York. Charles even went to Africa on behalf of this group and the Community Investment Network to learn more about international philanthropy. And since that time, I've served on a lot of panels and just talking about what we've done in Birmingham throughout the country. The Community Foundation, of course, is our host organization, which means that as a giving circle, there are really three different ways to put your money aside. One is to create your own 501c3 nonprofit organization and create a bank account, which is onerous and time-consuming and
expensive.
We explored that idea and we decided that's not the route to go. The other would be to partner with a national, in our case, a national foundation or organization that is aligned with our mission. So let's say we were Asian American and that was our particular passion. We might have found a national foundation that supports those issues and essentially become an auxiliary of them. And so there was one foundation we looked at nationally that kind of aligned with us, but we decided not to go that route. We actually chose to go the route where half of the giving circles that are in the Community Investment Network have chosen to go, which is to partner with the local community foundation. Of course, community foundations are very well endowed, local or regional 501c3 organizations that have a lot of that big wealthy money and also has money and funds and vehicles for smaller groups that want to put at least $10,000 into an account and not have to deal with creating their own 501c3 nonprofit or have to know investment rules around nonprofit and donor dollars, sending out the receipts and all of that. All of that administrative work is handled by the Community Foundation. We pay a very, very, very small management fee effectively for that. And they also, they get the benefit of having a real community-based group with some young folks with energy and a novel idea associated with them. And of course, we get the benefit of the credibility of having our funds with them. They're a constant banner in our community, and we're kind of a part of that story that they tell throughout the community. And we've been fortunate to have a very good relationship with our community foundation. I know that hasn't been the case for all giving circles. Frankly, when you talk about institutional philanthropy, it doesn't get much more institutional than a community foundation. And not all of those leaders understand or appreciate or really want to even deal with these very, very small dollars and administrative headaches, frankly, that one might have to deal with, including the beautiful website that you went to for the Birmingham Change Fund. You know, we don't have a separate account for that. So we have to have a good relationship with the Community Foundation so that we can take a part of the funds that we raise and use that for administrative purposes to increase our fundraising effort and our visibility.
Mm-hmm. Is there any insight you can share about how you set up that relationship? Did you just contact them out of the phone book? I mean, how did you find people who were interested in hosting you?
Well, that was not very difficult. Primarily because we had the Community Investment Network behind us.
Okay.
It helps to have somebody like Daryl Lester or Miss Lynetta Gilbert, who was a director for Ford Foundation, who handled the Southeast effectively, to call the executive director here in Birmingham and let them know about the great work that Birmingham is already doing right up under their nose, and to help them get a sense for the bigger picture. So I would say to anyone that is creating a giving circle to not go it alone. Find somebody that's already doing it, that is effectively a success story already, or someone that has a built-in relationship or credibility with that executive at the Community Foundation, and go ahead and engage them and take them with you to the first meeting with that Community Foundation. The other thing to do is to do your homework. Find out what the strategic goals are for the host organization, in this case a Community Foundation. Find out where their investment objectives are for the upcoming year. And if you are in line with that already, and if you're providing some dimension that they don't already have access to, and most of them do not have sort of boots on the ground. That's why they fund nonprofit organizations. They don't have staff for that sort of thing. If your giving circle will effectively serve as a surrogate for an extension of the vision of the Community Foundation, then it's a win-win. And the one thing I would caution anybody that is thinking about doing that with is to please make sure that these folks understand what a giving circle is and to retain your identity. And that's something that's very, very important to me personally and important to our giving circle. And what I mean by that is it's very easy for people in the community to say, and we haven't had this, but it could be easy for someone to think that we are just an auxiliary of our community foundation. And the whole point of this, Sharon, is to help people understand that people of color or people that that have typically been on the margins of philanthropy that are now on a, what we call the supply side. We're not just on the demand side. We're not just showing up to nonprofits, sucking up all the services. We're also providing cash. We're providing intellect. We're providing relationships. And that's very, very important, not just from a egotistical organizational identity perspective, but it's important for the community to have a real sense that other people, now put that in quotes, other people, no matter what those are, oftentimes they're women-centric groups, that other people have a real voice and are sitting at the table, shoulder to shoulder, not just at the little kiddie table off to the side. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, Ed, when we had exchanged a few emails, you had, I know there were some tornadoes in your area, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how your giving circle responded and if being in a giving circle has changed how you thought about these tornadoes and what your response was.
That's a very interesting question. Because being in a giving circle, unlike just writing a check to somebody who's asking me for money, means that we are thinking proactively about what we can do to address issues. And it makes me feel like an owner. I feel like I own problems and that I have to be thinking about how to solve, just like I do sitting here with my business. Mm-hmm. And so I would say yes, to that extent, a giving circle has helped broaden and change my perspective, the perspective that a leader is going to need, a seasoned leader is going to have. And so it just gets us on that track a lot earlier. In terms of what we did in response, there's two things. One is one of our members actually had their parents, Randall Woodfin, and his parents lost their home. It was completely demolished. And so when I talk about the relationships, it was so easy for us to just send out a quick email and for folks to rally and go get items, from sell some blue shampoo that they love to have to gift cards from Walmart. So there was that kind of personal response. More broadly, as we are now coming out of our research phase to determine where we're going to put about $12,000 in cash into programs and organizations that are supporting students at Birmingham City Schools, we have had a couple of very serious conversations about should our strategy now be really focused on the impacted area? I mean, what does that mean? We know that a couple thousand structures were damaged, a lot of homes. We don't know where their students are going to go. We don't know if a school is now going to be overcrowded and needs additional resources, or if the students are going to be sent all across town. There are a lot of questions here that we don't have answers to that unfortunately are not allowing us to make a quick decision about where we want to support the tornado. I will say this, and I hope that Giving Circle leaders will appreciate it. Our goal is not to put patches on issues. If we want to do that, we just keep writing a little $25 checks all over the place. Our goal is to have the discipline and resolve to look at the big hairy issues and to stick with a strategy that addresses that, not everything that comes up. The problem with the tornadoes that happened here is that they were such an anomaly and so unprecedented that it almost, it at least inspires, if not requires, some sort of action. Mm. And that has been, a source of frustration, because I would like us to do something that would be beneficial, but I am completely against us just, writing a $5,000 check to the American Red Cross. That's not who we are. And if members want to do that, my I've been saying you just need to do that separately. Mm-hmm. But that takes, you know, that takes some belief in what we're actually doing, and that perhaps we'll have a better impact on the youth that we want to impact by taking that $5,000 and putting it somewhere else, and sticking with it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I agree that focus of wanting to fix problems, not just a temporary thing that doesn't actually change anything. And I also really appreciated the idea that you were talking about feeling ownership of problems, because that was one of the things I discovered when I joined a giving circle. Like I felt like if I saw something, I could actually do something about it, and it was so much more empowering than looking out and just feeling like, despair, the world's too big, I can't make a difference. I think it's a wonderful insight that you just gave there. So we're approaching the end of our 25 minutes. Ed, is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you would like to share with us right now?
Well, there's a lot to say about the Birmingham Change Fund. It's been a ride, and I don't know where it's going to end up, because I got into this thing because it was novel and it was a great sort of experiment with some good people, and it's certainly not as novel anymore. There's still a lot of great people. We actually have resources now, and we have some credibility, so the dynamics are really different. But for those folks that are listening to this interview, looking for some insights for their own giving circle, I guess the major points are, one, the Birmingham Change Fund would love to be a resource to have these types of conversations on an ongoing basis with anyone that is interested in doing that. And y'all can find us at birminghamchangefund.org. Two is to get involved with the group. I mean, I encourage people to stay close to your website and to post their own information and to allow you, Sharon, to be a hub for resources throughout the country and to be a gateway for ideas and inspiration. And to join formal organizations like the Community Investment Network that are really designed and have now a long history of providing resources to people that don't really have a clue, but they just really want to do something special. That's exactly what giving circles are and what they can do for you. And the other thing, the last point I'll leave, is something that we don't talk about much in this world. Giving circles are so small. And Sharon, you may not know this, but professionally I manage small associations for a living, member-based groups. Small organizations go through so much change because they don't have the consistency, structure, infrastructure to make it really lasting. So I would say, have the courage. If you can't see how the organization is going to last, have the courage to perhaps make your giving circle just a project. It doesn't have to be something that you're setting up to live forever, because that's daunting, and sometimes you get so caught up in the minutia of the administration that you kind of miss out on the sweetness of the investment and the relationships. So for what it's worth, if you have a small group and you just really want to help out, pick something and pick a date to end it. And if you want to pick it back up again, you can. You can call it something else or form it, you know, do a pilot is effectively what I'm saying, and be okay with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Giving circles give you that flexibility.
Yeah, it's great advice. And in the beginning, you can keep it really simple, too, and just write checks directly to where you're going to be donating, so you don't have to worry about sponsors and hosts and things like that. That's great advice.
Yeah.
Well, Ed, I want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us. I know you're a busy man, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And let's stay in touch.
Okay.